Welcome to the Millionaire Secrets Podcast, where the most successful people in the world share their secrets to help you create the awesome life you desire. Welcome everyone out there back to another exciting episode of Millionaire Secrets. And that when I say exciting, it's not an adjective, it's a promise. We're going to bring it here. And today I know we're going to bring it because I have with you Tim Story. If you were at a recent 10X Growth Con, you know Tim Story. If you listen to the nationally syndicated Keep the Faith radio show, you know Tim Story. If you've checked out Oprah's Super Soul Sunday, you know Tim Story. There are a lot of ways that you will probably know Tim Story. And I'm just grateful and privileged that now one of those ways is the Millionaire Secrets show. So Tim, welcome to the show.
What a privilege. How did you come up with that name? I like the name of the show. How'd you come up with that?
Well, you know, I thought, what's everybody out there looking for?
Yeah, secrets.
Right? Secret, you know, the internet. So I come from the internet marketing world, right? And we're always looking for those magic little nuggets of copy that unlock, basically that get people to click stuff, right? And secrets is a powerful word. And then people want money. And I happen to think my message pretty directly impacts people's bottom line, though maybe not in the way that they think. And so I like sharing, you know, talking to successful people, figuring out how to make it really make it happen.
And I like that because it's real. I think that in my journey, in conversations with some really bright people, you know, sometimes they give you like one secret that can really bring long-lasting change. So I like that.
Yeah, and that's, you know, I think it conditions people to go into these episodes the right way. You know, lots of, you think about like the seminar business, like 3 days of speakers and all they bring, you know, multi-sensory stimulation. But the reality is you're just going there to get that one thing.
Yeah.
And no doubt. Here, I hope they're going to find, you're going to say a lot of amazing stuff. I have no doubt. I just hope that everybody gets one thing from Tim Story. So that's a great place to start. And, you know, let's go there because we're here anyway. You've had an amazing journey, and I want to do more exploration of that journey. But if you had to pick one moment and one thing that created the possibility for that moment, that where your story shifted and you became the you that you are now today, what would that be?
I think I'd have to go back to sixth grade. Happy kid, good athlete, good dancer. I used to love Soul Train. You had American Bandstand. They were okay dancers. Soul Train were the better dancers. Right. And so I was a good dancer. It's in sixth grade. And I was a very good athlete. But one day in sixth grade, my teacher said to me, "Hey, Tim, can you wait after class?" So I did. And he said, "I have like a personal library. And I wanted to see if you wanted to check out one of my books, because I think you are," and I didn't know what he was going to say next. And he said, "I think you are," then he said, "brilliant." So I'd never had anybody say that to me before, because my mother was very busy raising 5 kids. My father had passed when I was 10 in a car accident. So this guy, who is a white guy, said, "I think you are brilliant." And something that I now look back to, that I'm glad I didn't push his words away. I embraced him. I said, "Okay." He said, "So I'll give you 3 choices of books." And I took one by a man by the name of Irving Stone on the life of Michelangelo. And he said, well, how could that change you so much? Well, being raised, in Compton, California, we started 7 people in a 2-bedroom house. When you would read a book like that, you would see beyond. You could see beyond. And so this book written by Irving Stone, who I later met his wife because he had passed, it really helped change my life in sixth grade. But also changed my life was the sixth grade teacher branding me brilliant. He branded me, and I went with it.
Man, the power of early influence. My therapist says that we've all decided on our basic view of the world by the time we're anywhere between 8 and 10 years old. And we spend the rest of our life just assimilating all the data that comes our way to fit it into that view. You know, I guess it's called some kind of bias, something
something bias, right? It's how we look at cognitive bias. Well, there's all, yeah, I'm forgetting the exact term, but what a great bias to have.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so I think the cool thing was that he had observed me, because this was towards the end of sixth grade, and I think he was right. And so I think we are all full of a lot of brilliance, and it's a matter of we respond to it and educate it and decide to manifest it. And so I did decide to do all three.
Yeah, I mean, that word just essentially refers to the projection of light. And I don't think, you know, I as a fan of yours and now grateful to be a friend, I agree. I think you're brilliant. I've followed you for a while, but I also don't think you have exclusive dominion on brilliance. I actually think, like you just said, we all have a touch of that.
100%.
But it's
100%.
Cool. It's cool that early on you got somebody actually affirm that for you, and you decided to focus on that. Because, and you think about the power of that moment. What if he had said, what, you know, hanging in the air, Tim, I think that you are struggling.
Yeah.
And he could have meant that as a way to help.
Yeah. Right. You're exactly right, because the label creates a language. And it's an interesting thing about a label. A label is a tag or a marker that denotes three things. It denotes the value of something, value. It denotes the use of something. Okay. So value, usage. Okay. And then it also is, let's just leave it at two. I like it at two. It denotes two things, the value and the usage. Like if you were to put Louis Vuitton, then you say, hey, you know, that's valuable. If you put, this says water, but it's, if it said Sprite, it would be Sprite. So let's leave it two things. And so when he labeled me brilliant, then he like said, hey, you're valuable. So mm-hmm. I went with that.
And the usage, that. You know, what are brilliant things intended for? They're intended for creation, to cast light, illumination. And by the way, speaking of language, I'm a language nerd, and it was really bugging me. I couldn't think of that word, but confirmation bias is what I was reaching for earlier.
Yes.
That now you've spent the rest of your life confirming that label.
Yes. But over a period of time, you know, over a period of time of him first, you know, confirming the brilliance, and then for me to like, I responded to it. Remember what I said, I did not push it away.
Yeah.
So I teach this, that all of us are called to do something wonderful, but we have to cooperate with the calling. And so from famous actors, rappers, artists, to guys who work at Amazon, to anybody that I work with, everybody has a calling, but you have to cooperate with the calling. And I think that what the sixth grade teacher said to me, I was willing to cooperate with what he said. I took the book,
mm-hmm.
and then I read the book, and then he told me, tell me what you learned from the book. And I told him what I learned. See, so I cooperated.
Well, it's interesting that term and that book. And when you were saying that there were three things that a label connotes, value, usage, where I had no idea.
And the third one is content.
Okay.
Content.
And so I thought
it's content. And I'm going to tell you why. It's content. And I'll tell you why. Because if this says water, I expect it to be water. If it says Disneyland, that's the label, I don't expect it to be Magic Mountain. So yeah, so I've been teaching on that for years. So it's the value, the usage, how do I use something, and the content.
So it's essentially, it's what's it worth, what's it for, and what's in it. And
100%.
So if you're brilliant, What's it worth? A lot. Brilliant things are. What's it for? The term brilliance is about illumination, casting light. And what's in it is energy that projects. And so then it's interesting that you couple that with the book that you read, Michelangelo. What did Michelangelo do? Michelangelo, you know, his most famous creation, I would argue, is probably the Statue of David.
Right.
He didn't actually create David. What he did was he removed all the stone that was encasing David.
That's awesome, actually.
Right. And yet, great, and now you as a coach who's brilliant, what do? With actors and rappers and executives and the people that you work with, you remove what's currently encasing them and allow their David to be illuminated by your brilliance.
So that's super, super good. And so, you know, a lot of people have watched this ESPN special, The Last Dance, that was originally supposed to be just about the Chicago Bulls, but they realized that that would only go so far. So let's make it about Michael Jordan. And so in that, you see Phil Jackson, that he had to do exactly what you said, because he had a cast of characters. He had Michael Jordan, who didn't need much work. He had Dennis Rodman, who needed a lot of work. He had Horace Grant, that was just a sturdy big guy in the center. Then he had like John Paxton, the guard, who was just a great shooter, okay? And so he had this interesting cast of characters, Scottie Pippen, and he had to somehow bring the brilliance out of every one of them. And I'm glad we're going down this trail, because we had not discussed what we're going to dialogue about, is that I feel that, you know, all of us have our brilliance, as you said, but we need to build our brilliance. We need to build it. So whether you want to go the Malcolm Gladwell, 10,000 hours to be a master at anything, but you have to build your brilliance. When I get around the best actors in the world, which I have been, I mean, I used to eat a lot of dinners with Tony Curtis, friends with Jack Lemmon, Walter Matthau, so many dinners with Robert Downey Jr., probably over 100. Talking about acting and how to act, how to do a scene. These are people that built their brilliance. They built it. It's possible to build your brilliance.
Yeah, I think it's much more, I think it's a neglected truth in most people's lives, not only how possible it is, but how many tools they have with which to do it, strewn all around them, if they look with those eyes, and they'll do it. And you know, sadly, I think we live in a world that doesn't normalize this way of thinking.
Yes.
And I think that's why people that are committed to excellence and brilliance and developing this best aspect of themselves so often end up as artists or athletes or entertainers, or because those are actually kind of fringe things. And unfortunately, the level of commitment to growth and the discipline required, even like special forces in the military, like these are like weird professions. Like when a girl comes home and tells her parents, "Yo, I'm marrying a guy who wants to be a Navy SEAL, or I'm marrying a guy who wants to be a professional actor." They're not normally like, "Yay, that's so awesome! He must be really committed to brilliance and building his brilliance." They're usually like, "Well, are you sure about this? This may not be such a great idea." Those people tend to find themselves in these fringe places because they have a fringe way of living, because sadly, building brilliance is like fringe.
Yes. Right? So let's go there for a second. So how does one discover what could be their brilliance? Many times it just pops out of you. I've seen brilliance in people who are just great listeners and they became great therapists. I've seen people that are very awkward, but they understand music and they became Pharrell Williams. So I think that it comes out of you when you're younger. And so for all you that are watching, if you go back in your life and you start to pay attention to what you paid attention to, there lies your brilliance.
I love that you're Yeah, I mean, your own life gives you clues about where it's meant to head.
There's no doubt about it.
I want to ask you a question. You, it sounds like, had a very fortunate, I wouldn't say lucky, but it was fortunate that at a certain moment as a child, you had the instinct or wherewithal, for whatever reason, to attach to a certain moment and draw a lot of meaning and identity from that moment that was actually growth promoting, right? You didn't, yes, you didn't pick the wrong moment, you picked the right moment, right? What do you say to someone who 20 or 30 or 40 years later is realizing that they've spent decades in the grips of having chosen the wrong moment to attach to, and you're trying to help them unwind that and find a different label? How do you work with that? Because I suspect there's actually more of them than there are of maybe you and me.
There's much more of people who do that. And not to say that you and I are the prototype of people who have not been ensnared by snares.
Right.
Because everybody's been through challenges. But what happens is, I mean, this is what I became famous for, being a comeback coach. This is where my brilliance lies. I'm not a great cook. I'm an okay cook. I'm not great at building cars. But as a comeback coach, they tell me that I probably cannot be beat, and that's probably true. So what happens is that when somebody has a setback and they can't figure it out, I actually wrote some steps down. Number one, you have to become awake, like wake up. Secondly, you take inventory. What happened in my life? Oh, my wife left me. Okay. Awake, take inventory. Number three, you got to find the right partners. And that's why people are partnering with you on this podcast. They're growing, they're learning, they're evolving. Number four, you got to make sure you find the right principles, because the right principles will take you to the right place. The wrong principles will take you to the wrong place. Number five, you got to have the right plan. Again, this is where I'm super good. Like, I've helped some of the greatest actors in the world that we won't mention today get back on track, and their plan sucked. And through a lot of conversations, they ended up like, holy schmoly. So you got to have the right plan. Number six, you have to have persistence. That's what you're about. The ability to push through. And number seven, you got to stay on purpose, which is something that most people do not know how to do. Like, some guys I life coach, I've life coached for over 20 years, and they're highly successful. I was talking to one of the biggest agents in Beverly Hills. He said, "Tim, you know, you've life coached me 22 years. And he has probably the two biggest celebrities that we can imagine. And I'm not exaggerating, the two biggest. 22 years I've life coached him. And so I said to him, "What's one reason that you keep coming to me?" He says, "Because you help me do what you say, stay on purpose. I don't feel like I'm going to go off my purpose, but I want to stay on my yellow brick road." So you become awake, take inventory, right partners, principles, plan, persistence, stay on purpose.
So I have two questions. One is, are the right principles case by case? Or, you know, I mean, a lot of those are case by case, strategy or the plan, partners, you know, depends on your situation. Are the principles case by case, or are there a set of principles you always bring people back to?
The principles are case by case, but I think it comes back to some Stephen Covey teaching of things like character, compassion, humility. Mm-hmm. So I'm doing this new thing where on Monday nights, my guy Joseph, I've told you about, I call it the World Shakers Discussions. And I discuss the 100 traits of the greats. And you see that most people that do well in life have similar principles, but they're very elementary, like character, humility, being kind to others, compassion. Yeah. So yeah, they can come from a lot of different places. They can come from religion, they can come from Tony Robbins, they can come from a lot of places, but gotta have core principles.
Well, I love that you mentioned Stephen Covey. I'm a pretty big fan of the Seven Habits. And I mean, if people are looking for a place to start, that's probably as good as any.
No doubt about it. And I think that what he has accomplished and the fact that his work has endured the test of time says a whole lot. But yeah, that's an excellent book.
Yeah, you and to your point about building brilliance over time, you know, his seventh habit of you know, sharpening the saw, that if you're going to cut down a tree and you have 5 hours, you spend 4 hours sharpening your axe, right? Or sharpening your, whatever the metaphor is. That's that grind that nobody sees.
Yes.
And every one of your clients, you know, you're the coach and they're the famous person with the coach. But there was a time long before when they were doing layer after layer and day after day of work. And I think that that's probably one of the saddest things about the time we're in now. I think the internet, because information moves so quickly and it's so accessible, and people correlate information with success because they say, oh, if you have the right information, you can get the right result. And well, information moves quickly now. So if information moves quickly and information produces a result, therefore results should be produced quickly.
Yes.
And they just don't
give
it
the time. That's a great observation by you. And the reality is to build something amazing takes a lot of time. And, you know, like the people I get to get around are just crazy, you know. Like I'm around Stevie Wonder.
Yeah.
To be Stevie Wonder didn't happen overnight. It came from him hearing music, deciding he wanted to play the piano because he heard it, being blind, just working that craft over and over and over. But he told me I wanted a different sound and a tone. So I was talking to Verdeen White from Earth, Wind, and Fire, and he said, when Stevie plays piano, you know it's Stevie. When he plays harmonica, you know it's Stevie. Mm-hmm. Even though Bob Dylan was a great person on certain instruments, he sounds different than a Stevie Wonder on harmonica. Mm-hmm. And so Stevie, by working hour after hour after hour after hour, building his brilliance, what did he do, man? He set up his family forever.
Yeah.
So that's what makes it so worth it for me. Like what people don't see behind the scenes is that I pay tens of thousands of dollars a year for information. And I hire all these psychologists, psychiatrists, and fact finders to bring me amazing information that I work on. And then I spit stuff all over the world that works. But I bust my butt to be authentic. Mm-hmm. So when someone says, dude, you just lit that stage on fire, it wasn't by accident. I got all that research and I put 30 hours into a 30-minute speech.
Right.
No wonder it worked.
Yeah, I love, man, a couple things. Everything you say, I have like five ahas and questions from. So I'm like picking and choosing, but a few things in what you just said. One is the investment. You know, one of my core values, I teach about the three P's of excellence: physical, personal, and professional excellence. And one of my values is, what it isn't is we pursue physical, personal, and professional excellence. The value is actually we invest in physical, personal, and professional excellence. That, you know, if you pay attention, right? And you talk about spending, you know, tens of thousands of dollars for information. I employed a staff of, you know, a content team, and I assign, you know, it takes 3 to 5 people to make this show happen.
Yeah.
And I started this show 2 months ago solely because I wanted to create relationships, because relationships create opportunity. They give you access to better information. I mean, all the things
true
that come from network. But it costs me $10,000-$20,000 a month just to have a show where people can talk. So what's the value?
Yes.
I'm not I'm not here pitching my product. What's the value? The value is exactly what you said. It's investing in the different types of excellence. And I suspect you could have 100 people have this conversation and they would all have stories of how not only are they investing in information or excellence or communication or connection or, you know, whatever the resources are now, but they were doing it even before they had money. They were just investing whatever they had. Time.
I like what you're saying.
Yeah.
But see, but that's why there's only certain people that have a certain sound or a tone and the world knows it. Like, for instance, you hear a song by Billy Joel, you go, whoa, that's Billy Joel.
Right.
Okay, the Rolling Stones, that's the Stones. U2, that's U2. And what you have is a lot of people that are fast and fleeting today. That's not me, yo. I've endured the test of time. I've been at this 39 years now. Hmm. 39 years and still rising. So what is that? That is some mentors who sat on me. Some guys that said, okay, Tim, you're a little charismatic. You're kind of smart, but you're not ready for this.
Yeah.
And let me just tell you something. Probably once a week, someone says to me, can you introduce me to Oprah Winfrey? Because I'm very close to her. I always think to myself, are they ready for her? Because she's pretty dialed in.
Yeah.
And man, when you meet her for the first time, you're going to know you met her. And I'm telling you guys, I'm around everybody. From the Dalai Lama to Deepak to everybody. This lady is tuned in. So the very thing they want, the question is, are they ready for it? It's powerful stuff, right?
Mm-hmm, it is.
So I call it a three-phase thing. Impartation, the idea comes. Incubation, the maturing of the idea, and the maturing of the talent, and the maturing of the person. So you have importation, then you have incubation, then you have manifestation. As you said earlier, everyone's trying to manifest too fast. I'm not. There are certain things that I'm manifesting the heck out of, and I'm gonna be hard to beat in my lane, true. But there's new areas that I'm in, that I'm the newbie.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm being trained by the best right now. I won't tell the areas, but I'm being trained by the best because I'm a newbie in those areas and I'm cool with that. I may not manifest heavy in those areas for 7 more years.
Man, I appreciate this conversation so much because selfishly, you are validating exactly what I'm doing right now. I've been an internet marketer for 12 years. Done really, really well. I can walk into an event at ClickFunnels and have a bunch of people wanting to know how I did what I did. But, you know, starting this show and getting to meet people like yourself and, I mean, I have Dave Asprey coming on the show next month, the creator of Bulletproof. And it's a totally different world for me. You know, the mainstream information and retail marketing establishment world. I mean, it's big. It's bigger than my whole IM bubble that I've lived in for a long time. And I'm actually trying, I meditate frequently on patience. And what you said, finding your voice. You know, Stephen Covey, after he wrote The 7th Habit, published another book called The 8th Habit, right?
Oh, yeah.
The 8th Habit was finding your voice, right?
Yes, which is an excellent idea. But I think the thing that's cool about a person like yourself is that while you are building your spot. So here's a Tim Story quote. Build your spot and life will put the spotlight on your spot. So when you build your spot, because you're so good at what you do, I could easily see you on like MSNBC with your own show. I mean, that's not beyond like where you're headed or on Vice or somewhere else that understand somebody who's super smart. So you build your spot and life will put the spotlight on your spot. Like, it's a constant question to me where people say, how do you get to know all these entertainers? I want to do the same thing. We've never looked for one of them. Not one. Not one. I got good at something and they needed that something. So I built my spot and life put the spotlight on my spot. So the better you get at what you're doing, which you're very good, you're building your spot and life is going to put the spotlight on the spot.
It's powerful. And I'll be honest, it's emotional to hear you say that. But I've been fighting really hard. Fighting's not the right word. Training for it really hard to
yeah, but, start doing but, what's be, happening. But be emotional with it because I'm giving you some real crap here. Like, I won't say too much, but let me just say this. Charlie Sheen is my great friend. And I remember when he came to me and he said, they're thinking of me doing this show. And the show happened to be a show called 2.5 Men. Mm-hmm. And he was considering not doing the show because he was a movie star. And I was one of the people, I can't say too much of the story because that's my boy. I've been with Charlie forever. So I can't tell too much of the story, but I was one of the few that said TV is a smart idea because he was big screen. Mm-hmm. And I said, go small screen. Because I felt like because he had so many setbacks that he needed to go and build his spot again. Be reliable, show up, know his lines. Well, over a period of time, he started making $1 million an episode.
Yeah, yeah, wow.
And he's been very generous to me in many, many ways.
So that's like you said. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, please.
No, go ahead.
Well, you mentioned, you know, I think you had 7 or 8 things, and the last one was the plan. And you said that's kind of your specialty, right? And it sounds like at least
to stay
Charlie
on purpose.
Sheen certainly benefited from that, right?
Yeah, I mean, to stay on purpose, you got to become awake, take inventory, you have the right partners. We're talking about a comeback. Mm-hmm. You got to find your right principles, have the right plan, persistence, but you got to stay on purpose. And what you have to be careful of is the bigger you get, there's more shiny objects that will come your way. And the people who stay great, like Tom Hanks as an actor, my friend Denzel Washington as an actor, they're not much for chasing the shiny objects. Oprah Winfrey has been in her house since March because she doesn't want to get COVID-19. You're not going to get Oprah with a shiny object. So people are always trying to picture something shiny. Mm-hmm. No, man, she got too good on staying on purpose. And so it's that very thing that you think is not working that makes you brilliant. Like, for instance, I have a brother 4 years older than me, and he used to build model airplanes and model cars. And I thought, what a waste of damn time. You know, because I was more the athlete. He was a good athlete, but I was an athlete. And that guy is like 12 building model cars. Well, I didn't know that was going to lead him to become an engineer at McDonnell Douglas. You get my point?
Yeah.
So he was building a spot.
Yeah.
And life put the spotlight on his spot.
So what's interesting to me about that concept, and by the way, I'm going to be riffing on this building your spot idea for a long time because I love it. I'm going to be talking to my mastermind group about it and so forth.
Yeah, do it.
I think a lot of times in the building of the spot, people don't realize it's a spot that they're building.
They 100%.
They think it's just life happening to them and they're being resilient and they're doing they're applying these principles that they've heard. But I know a lot of times it's hard to see the forest amidst the trees, right?
Yeah.
How do you keep people on task in that when they can't see what they're actually pulling off?
I think a lot of it is about motives. So we have about 7 minutes
left. Right.
And I think that it's a lot about, is about motives. Like, I don't have whack motives. Like, I didn't look for money. Money came to me because I became good at what I did. I didn't try to move to Beverly Hills and have 7 bathrooms and an elevator. That happened to me because I became super good at what I do. I don't have whack motives at all. I do a lot of stuff for free. I'm on a lot of boards for free to help people out. I sometimes speak for free, even though my speaking fee to corporations is super high. So I don't have whack motives. And I think a lot of people, your motives are whack. They're not right. Mm. And what happens is that you want it so bad. Mm. So people could look up to you. Dude, that's overrated. You know, to be a celebrity means to be celebrated. Celebrate your damn self.
Yeah, and I look up to you for what? For look up to you for wanting to be looked up to? I mean, there should be more.
Yeah. Right. Good point. Good point.
Like, do something worth celebrating and then maybe humbly and patiently, you know, seek a little bit of at least validation that could maybe grow into celebration, but do something.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, and the interesting thing about life is that like young people may know more about Taylor Swift and know nothing about Prince. I was talking to my friend's son and I was saying, yeah, like Prince, I like him because he was his own guy, created his own brand. And he literally said, and the kid's 15, he said, who's that? Hmm. It's Prince.
Yeah.
So you can be Prince and still some people don't know you.
Yeah, it's interesting because you think of Taylor Swift and I've never met her. I'd love to meet her. And I think she clearly has some intangibles that have given her some sticking power in an era where sticking power is rare. But you have a million people competing to be the next Taylor Swift.
Yes.
But nobody's competing to be the next Prince.
Right.
Because the next Prince is a contradiction in terms.
Hey, good going. That's some good stuff right there. And the other thing about Prince is that he built a spot where he learned to play as many instruments as he could in case the lazy ass people didn't show up. That's what he told a friend of mine. Mm-hmm. He said, I was tired of waiting for the drummer who didn't show up. And I had to lay down a drum segment. And if so that lazy guy didn't show up, I knew I could do it myself. This is such brilliance.
Yeah, really.
That Prince could play so many different instruments in case he needed to. A lot of times he never played them, but just in case he needed to. See, I think that's so hot.
Yeah, that is pretty epic. As a former professional working musician, I very well understand the issue he was dealing with. And it was one of the reasons I was always grateful to be a piano player, because literally if nobody else showed up, it's a solo instrument by design, right? So I could cover all the parts. That's so cool. Listen, I know that we both have another appointment coming up. So I want to end this, what I think is on a wonderful high note right here. And I just am so grateful. I appreciate you being here and making this connection. And what I will not ask you when we get off is to introduce me to Oprah. But what I would ask you, and you've helped me realize this, what I would ask you is when I am ready, would you introduce me? And frankly, much more importantly, what would I need to do to get ready? Right? Like, that's the question.
Yeah.
I'm not asking you now. I'm letting that hang in the air for.
No, of course. No, I like the way you think. I think that whether it be that lady we just mentioned or somebody else, mm-hmm. you're doing what you should be doing at this point. You are building your spot.
That's such a great concept. That's the one thing,
That's the one thing.
Yeah.
No doubt. And
for everyone.
So with every with every guest that you interview, with all the research that you're doing before you interview us, you're building your spot. And then what happens with a lot of different people, because like this is what happens to me on the weekly basis, where I'll get a call from an entertainer and they'll tell me about another big, big entertainer that needs to talk to me. And I don't even ask why, because they need what I'm good at. Mm-hmm. I'm a master of the comeback, not kind of good. I'm a master.
So
they're looking for that. So I'm just here in COVID-19ville with all kinds of books and stuff, right?
Right.
And all this stuff's coming at me. I mean, if you knew the two people I talked to today already, I ain't looking for it. I'm building this little spot right here.
You're building your spot. Even though your spot is pretty illuminated, you're still building it. I love that about you. Listen, in the interest of time, I know we're about out of it. How do people come enroll into your world?
So that's nice of you. So we offer this little thing that I think is kind of cool. And I'm doing this on purpose because my life coaching is expensive. I'm $1,000 an hour. So you don't want to do that. But we do this thing for $19 a month. Where, watch how cool this is. Every Monday night, I get on Zoom and I have conversations with people, with other people who I call world shakers. $19 a month. No upselling you. No come into my deeper place.
Right.
And I go over the 100 traits of the greats. And you have people that are running worlds, entertainers, factory workers. It's one of my favorite things I've ever done. So it's conversations with other world shakers. You go to timstory.com and maybe your people can put that on. So
yeah, we'll put that in the link. I know that you're also Tim Story Official on Instagram.
On Instagram, yeah.
I'm so Jeff Lerner Official on Instagram, so I'm glad we're both official.
Yes.
We've put together a link, millionairesecrets.com/TimS
that hey,
I want to invite people to that where they can actually get our free ebook on the fastest way to become a millionaire in the new economy. It's called The Millionaire Shortcut.
Nice.
Make sure we know that you got there by listening to this episode. So go to millionairesecrets.com.
No, so definitely. So when you guys sign up, because they do sign up for this, because it's only $19 a month, and I'm on every Monday night myself, not like 19 of my associates.
Right. Cool.
To me, it's therapeutic and I get to give back. And why do you even put a value on it? Number one, it's $19. And people need to value it so they pay a little something to feel good about everything. But so when you sign up, make sure and let it know it's through this program, and then they'll get your free book. Is that correct?
Yeah, The Millionaire Shortcut. We'll make sure. We'll figure that out. But yes, they're entitled to it. Hey, Tim, thank you so much for being a guest on Millionaire Secrets. It's been great having you.
What a privilege. And listen, let me just say this to you in parting. I'm proud of you. And because you're already kicking butt, taking names in your lane. So now you stepped out into this other lane and you're just going to do the same thing, just so you know. You're going to do it again because you learned to build your spot here. You're just helicoptering it to another place. So congratulations.
Well, from you, that means a lot, Tim. Thank you to yourself and to the entire Millionaire Secrets audience out there. Go enroll in Tim's world, and his coaching thing sounds amazing. So check that out too. And I'll bid everyone farewell. Thank you, Tim.
Life is good.
You just finished this episode of the Millionaire Secrets podcast. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please like and share this episode and do leave us a review. Let us know how we impacted you today. Your next step toward creating your awesome life is to join me and thousands of others in the Entre Nation community, where you'll receive free training, networking with other awesome life seekers, access to live events, discounts, merchandise, and other awesome perks. Head over to www.entrenation.com. That is www.entrenation.com and join us today.
And of course, do please follow me on social media. I can be found on all the major social networks at Jeff Lerner Official. Thank you again for listening, and please go be awesome.